Okay, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Is what we have come to. I believe we wrapped up chapter 6, didn't we? The end of chapter 6, of course, dealing with worry and being filled with anxiety. Pretty much wrapped that up. We may not have spent that much time on verses 33 and 34. Of course, we're all familiar with verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And that is dealing with putting God first in our life, his rule, his reign in our hearts, as we've often pointed out. And that is the condition of God, of course, watching over us with his providential care. We serve a great God who does provide for us, but our part is to seek him and to serve him. And then, of course, verse 34, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And I think we understand that principle. No need to borrow from tomorrow. We understand that every day has its own challenges, and we just take one day at a time, serving God, putting him first in our lives, and things will work out. All right, any questions about chapter 6? We move into the final chapter of this great sermon. This is indeed one of the greatest sermons, probably the greatest sermon that we have record of, first of all, because Jesus is the preacher, but also just the length of it. It is certainly the longest sermon that we have recorded for us in the Bible, so makes it a very valuable portion of the Word of God. So we move into the final chapter, and the next block of Scripture takes up the first five verses of Matthew 7, and it reads, "Judge not that ye be not judged. For the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when there is the log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you can see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." And, of course, this is a familiar passage, even to people who don't really understand it. I suppose judging is one of those topics that there's a lot of misunderstanding about. A lot of people think that the Bible completely condemns judging other people. And how often have you talked to somebody, you're trying to help somebody, and first thing they say is even your Bible that you go by says that you aren't to judge. And you're just trying to help somebody and get their life straight or help them get their life straight. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to be bothered. And so they try to quote this passage or at least make reference to it, that the Bible says, God says you should not judge. And God does say in this passage, of course, that we're not to judge. But that is not a total prohibition against judging. Fact of the matter is, we are commanded to judge. And so we need to understand what it is that Jesus is talking about here. He's not saying that Christians set forth any advice to individuals, can't teach individuals, can't try to help individuals, or that we always have to take the middle of the road and not set forth any opinions at all with regard to how people are living. I mean, we do all of those things. I've often argued that every time we preach the gospel, really, we're involved in judging. And of course, we're commanded to preach the gospel, the Great Commission, go and teach all nations. And so we have to do that. Every time we try to restore a brother or sister in Christ, we're passing a judgment that that person needs restoring. That person is not in a right relationship with God and needs some help. And that's a form of passing judgment. And so we understand that there are many passages and many principles that indicate that judging is something we have to do. Even in this chapter, in chapter 7 of the book of Matthew, there's indication that we have to judge. Look at verse 6. It says, do not give dogs that which is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs. Now, that, of course, is dealing with again, preaching the gospel. And there comes a time when you might be trying to teach somebody or preach to somebody. There's time when you need to kick the dust off your feet and move on. And that's serious business. You have to stop and think about that situation and when it's time to do that. It takes some judgment. Hopefully you exercise good judgment. As I've said, everybody deserves to hear the gospel at least once. But there comes a time when you don't want to do exactly what Jesus tells us not to do here. Don't give dogs what is holy. So you make a judgment. Even later on in this chapter, look down at verse 15. Verse 15, it says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. And so who's the false prophet? You have to make a judgment, don't you? Look down at verse 20 of the same chapter. Thus you will recognize them. Them who? The false prophets. You will recognize them by their fruits. I've said to you before, so it's been often said, we're not judges, but we're fruit inspectors. What's a fruit inspector? What does a fruit inspector do? Passes judgment. This fruit's not good enough. All right, this fruit's okay. Put it over here. You make judgments. So, I mean, we have to judge. Even, again, with regard to false teachers. You remember over in 1 John chapter 4, what John says there, 1 John 4, and at verse 1, he says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets, that's the spirits under consideration. That explains when he says test every spirit, you know what he's talking about there. Talking about false prophets. He said, or prophets, you have to determine whether they're false or not. And so he says that many false prophets have gone out into the world. And by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh and is from God. So the point of it, we need to try the spirits, don't we? We need to, and that, you know, the practical teaching of that today is that whoever preaches, whoever gets behind the pulpit and preaches, it's your job to try that individual, make sure that what he is teaching or preaching is in accordance with the Word of God. It takes some judgment. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about that. Try the spirits. And so there are many, many passages that set forth this idea of judging. Look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 5. We're all familiar with that great passage there, very important passage that talks with discipline in the Lord's church. But you might notice what Paul says at the end of this chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, notice at verse 11, he says, but now I'm writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of a brother if he is guilty of sexual immorality or greed or is an idolater, a reveler or drunkard or swindler, not even to eat with such a one. But look at verse 12. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge? And he says, God judges those outside. Purge the evil person from among you. So, you know, there are many passages like this that just set forth the idea. We are to judge other people. And so when Jesus says, judge not, it's not a total prohibition against that. We all have to do that. But there's a right way to do it and there's a wrong way to do it. And that's what we have to get at. Greg, yes. That's right. Yes. Yes. That's exactly right. Yes. And we'll get to that. We'll get to that in just a moment. But that's a very important part of that. You got to have the right standard. Brett, you sure? Okay. Okay. and there's more to it even than that. We'll talk about that. That's important. That's one of the ways that you judge correctly. But there are other principles that we'll get at here this morning. But just to get in your mind, don't let anyone tell you that you're not to judge other people. We'll look at least one passage where we are specifically commanded to judge. And all of these passages that we've just looked at least imply that there's a judgment that has to go on. Yeah. Yes, yes. And that brings to mind the fruit inspecting. And so that's when you talk about judging fruit with regard to the reality of that illustration, that it is the acts that were the acts of people that of course, we need to sometimes pass judgment upon. And so it's just a reality that we have to do that. And there's nothing in the Bible that condemns that. In fact, as I'm saying, it is commanded and implied in many passages of Scripture. So we get down then to the business of how we are to do that, how we can do that in a right way or a wrong way. And a lot of times now, of course, you know, this passage is very serious. And the reason it's very serious is because there's a lot of inappropriate judging that goes on among us. So we want to make sure that we certainly don't do that. All of these things, remember what I've said in earlier passages here in the Sermon on the Mount, whenever you have these kind of warnings, whether it begins with a beware or something of that nature, the reason Jesus preaches on these things is because they're real problems. They were real problems then. He knew he could foresee when the kingdom was established, in the kingdom there would be a real problem with individuals judging one another in an inappropriate way. And that hadn't changed all these years later. There's still a lot of that going on. So we want to make sure that we don't take the attitude that we're never to judge. I know my brother is an heir or whatever the case may be, or this person is not living a good life morally, but I'm not going to say anything or do anything because I'm not supposed to judge. We want to avoid that kind of position because that's wrong and that's not helpful. But at the same time, we want to make sure that we judge in the right way. So just a couple of things here with regard to the wrong way to judge. The first one is we don't judge, and Mary indicated this, we don't judge the hearts of others. And we don't have the ability to know the hearts of other individuals except by the fruit, ultimately, the fruit that they bear. But you really don't know the hearts of other people. You don't have that capability. Only God has that capability. 1 Samuel 16:7. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Now God can do that, can he? He knows exactly what you're thinking. He knows exactly why you do what you do. He knows all of your motives. But we don't. And sometimes we find ourselves doing that. We find ourselves trying to judge the motives of other people. And sometimes we're very harsh with each other in the body of Christ. And that's not good. We'll look at this more a little bit later on. But I have always emphasized the importance of brethren giving each other the benefit of the doubt. Always. Your first attitude towards brethren, no matter what they do, it shouldn't be negative. You shouldn't attribute to them some sinister motive for whatever they did. They might offend you, or they might say something that rubs you the wrong way. And too many times we just automatically think they're attacking us or they're being mean or whatever. And we don't give them the benefit of the doubt. And I think we always have to start at the foundation that we love each other. We want what is best for each other. And just operate, go out from there and think that, well, this person offended me, this brother or sister offended me, but give them the benefit of the doubt. And now, do sometimes in the body of Christ, do people misbehave, and are their motives sometimes bad? Yes, we're all people. But don't just jump to that conclusion. There's a problem with that. At the end of the day, you don't have the right to do that. Only God can see within the hearts of man. We can't see. So that's the first thing. Be very careful not to judge the heart of other people. And I think that's sort of obvious, but as obvious that is, we make that mistake sometimes. Have you ever found yourself judging the motives of your brother or sister? Or anyone, it's not just related to that. Maybe the motives of your boss or someone you go to school with or whatever it is. You're really, when you do that, you're really doing something you don't have the capability of doing accurately. You're more likely to make mistakes than not. Just because you happen, maybe you do that and you end up being right. Well, that the way that turns out, but you could be wrong just as easily as right when you're doing that sort of thing. You just don't know. The second one brings us back to what Greg was talking about. It's wrong to judge others by the wrong standard. And that is, of course, very important. It's not what Jesus is talking about specifically in this text before us, but just as a principle. We're just looking at this from a practical standpoint, how we shouldn't judge. You have to make sure you judge by the right standard, and that's the Word of God. And everything is based upon that. It's not your opinion. It's not just your own likes or dislikes. It has to be God's Word that is the standard by which we engage in judgment. And I think Greg is right. There's some accuracy in what he said, that at the end of the day, then, when we judge like that, it's really not us judging. It's the Word of God that we're just turning the attention of people to. And that's the standard. You remember over in Romans chapter 14, here's a passage that has gotten a lot of traction over the years because it's been misapplied, of course. People, as you turn over to Romans 14, Paul is dealing with matters of indifference here. And the problem is some people try to make this a chapter that deals with doctrinal issues that God has set forth legislation about. And that's not, you can't add that to this text. He's not dealing with that. But he's dealing with matters of opinion. And so he says at verse 1, as for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but do not quarrel over opinions. Now that's the important word there, opinions. We don't need to be judging people according to our own opinion. And so we have to be careful of that. And that's so easy to do. We want everyone to agree with us and to think exactly the way we think and do things exactly the way we do things. And when they don't, we begin to judge them harshly. And we have to be careful about that, even in the church. One person believes that he may eat anything, and while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. And so this is very critical. This is dealing, again, with matters of opinions, but it's still dealing with a spirit, something spiritual. And these individuals involved in the text, they really have taken a particular personal position on, in this case, eating meat. But it's still a matter of opinion. Why is it a matter of opinion when it comes down to what you eat, whether you should eat meat or not? Why is that a matter of opinion? Yes. He's talking. He's like, okay. and that's right, Greg. And so he hasn't legislated. He doesn't care. And I remember when controversy came out with regard to that, you know, brethren who wanted to fit doctrinal issues into this would kind of ridicule that kind of terminology. They'd say to Greg, well, you can't really say God doesn't care. God cares about everything. And that's real shallow, saying God doesn't care. No, truth is, God doesn't care about everything. That may sound good, but I can tell you right now, God can care less whether you eat meat or not. He doesn't care. It doesn't make you better or worse spiritually. And the reason I know that is because if God cared about it, he would have told you what to eat. And he hasn't. And so you can't put your finger on the passage. And because you can't put your finger on the passage, God hasn't set forth that legislation, then he doesn't care. It's a matter of indifference. And therefore, no matter how strongly you feel about it, there's people today who really, really feel that you should not eat meat today. It's all corrupt, kind of meat you can get today. Pork is terrible for you, isn't it? And God never has wanted you to eat pork. Just look at those Old Testament laws, and that proves nothing really has changed. Well, yes, the law has changed. And in this law that we're under, God hasn't limited what we can eat. So you may feel strongly about it. You may feel in your heart, well, there is something to it, because else God wouldn't have limited his people back then. You may feel all of that. But the fact of the matter is, that's your opinion. So don't judge me. I love a good steak. So what about it? It doesn't matter. In with regard to your relationship to God, your spirituality, it doesn't matter. So you don't judge. And you don't, as Paul says here, you don't condemn. You don't have a condescending attitude. You don't look down upon other individuals in regard to that issue, because God hasn't set forth legislation. Yes. That's right. So now they could. That was working on a principle, but still the principle is there. The principle is there. Yes. Yes. That's right. Yes. Shows you how little food is in this conversation with regard. I mean, you know, listen, it's important what you eat. No doubt about that. Should we take care of ourselves? Yes. But brethren have different degrees of place, different degrees of importance upon that. Some are fanatical about it, and other. But with regard to our relationship to God, it doesn't matter. Now, that's just one illustration. But whatever it is, again, I get up and I've often said, when I get up and preach, you all. Now, I know really the truth is everything I've ever said or ever will say, you agree with me, right? No, you don't always. And the fact of the matter is, I don't mind people coming to me and saying, listen, this, maybe you ought to consider this. Maybe you haven't looked, or you were wrong about this particular point. I've been wrong before and will be wrong. But the standard still is the Word of God, isn't it? I don't want your opinion. I don't mind you coming to me, but I just don't want your opinion. Put your finger on the passage and show me I'm wrong. Then I can change on that, whatever it is. Then you've helped me out. But make sure that the Bible is the standard. And so that's very important when it comes down. It's not our think-sos. It's not just how we feel. It's not how we've been raised. None of that stuff. It's the Word of God. That's the standard. It's how we should live our lives. That's the standard by which we're going to be judged in the end. And so when we start, and really this is the point that Paul makes in Romans 14, when we start judging our brother, We're really trying to occupy the place of Christ. He's the master. So Paul is saying, don't judge someone else's servant. You're not the master. So you let the master worry about that. And with regard to eating meat, Paul is saying they'll be okay, because the master, again, accepts them. So, yes, Nancy. Yes. Yes.
But then again, he says, and he's talking about brethren there, not speaking evil of brethren.
Yes.
But, and he talks in that context about not judging brethren, but that's almost opposite of what Paul was saying about, you know, we judge the one, judging each other, because God's going to judge those that are without.
Yes. Yes. Do you have the passage there?
Yeah.
Go ahead and read it, because that's a good passage. Yeah. I think I had that passage in my notes and just looked over it. But James 4.
Verse 11 says, do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against his brother will judge his brother. Speak the truth to the law, and he judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. There is only
Yes. Yeah. So that again, and that really that goes along with what Paul was saying in chapter 5. But that all that principle, the law, we've kind of said all of that really this morning. The law that when you are judging according to the right standard, it is the law that's doing the judging. And when you try to judge yourself, that is impugning the law itself, as if the law wasn't good enough. You just let the law do it. I think I have a quote here from somewhere from a commentary, and if I can come across it here. Let's see. It's a pretty good. This basically saying some of the things that we have said. Matthew Henry, I think, is the one. Matthew Henry, and he says pretty decent. He has a pretty decent set of commentaries. Conservative in some ways. But anyway, he says, he who quarrels with his brother and condemns him for the sake of anything not determined in the word of God does thereby reflect on his word as if it were not a perfect rule. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. Are we satisfied with the word of God or not? If the word of God is the perfect rule, Then we ought not to judge outside of that sphere, of that standard. That's the standard. And so if God has it in his word said, whether it's eating meat or observing days or other things that Paul talks about, if the word of God hasn't condemned a person, who are you? Who am I to do that? It's as if I'm saying to God, you haven't condemned them in your word, but you should have. Since you haven't, I'm going to. And that's really to impugn the word of God and even the very character of God himself. And I overlooked that in my notes, but I have James 4 right there next to Matthew Henry, because that goes right along with that. So just make sure you use the right standard when you're judging someone else. When you're going to go and try to help a brother, that's all good, and you need to do that. Make sure you have the Bible to back you up. That's the standard. Yes, Paul. Yes.
And sometimes we get offended too easily for minutes that really don't matter.
Yeah.
And I think as you get older, you get more thick skin. I don't know. Think the older you get, you say to yourself, it really doesn't matter what people think of me.
Yeah, dude.
Think good of me, but if someone doesn't like me for a particular reason that's not important, I can't let that bother me because I just have to go on with my life.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's right, Paul. I think that helps us to give people the benefit of the doubt, because it helps us from getting too upset right at the beginning. When you have thin skin and someone says something and you're upset right away, when you just almost immediately become upset, then it's hard to stop and give someone the benefit of the doubt and to think the thing through. So I do think we need to have just the right attitude toward our brethren. And even before something happens, right now you should be in your mind thinking, I know my brethren love me. We're all in this thing together. We're all trying to make it to heaven. We're serving the same God. We believe in the same Bible. And that should be the beginning place for all of us. So when you say something about me or you say something maybe about my preacher, I don't just immediately fly off the handle and because I know your heart is in the right place. I think your heart is in the right place. Now, going back to what I said, I can't really know if your heart is in the right place, but I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt, because that's just what we ought to do with each other. That could solve a lot of problems. What did Peter say about love? It covers a multitude of sins. If you just begin at that right place. So sometimes we are offended a little bit too easily, and we need to have thicker skin. I think you're right about that. Paul. And then the third one is judging according to appearance. And boy, are we guilty of that a lot. Just man in general and even within the body of Christ. Judging according to appearance. Here's where John 7:24 comes into play. And it says, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. So there's the passage I was referring to earlier. Here's a direct command. Jesus saying that we have to judge. This is in the form of a command. Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. So Jesus expected us to judge each other. But it has to be righteous. How is judgment righteous? By using the right standard. By not trying to judge the heart of other people, just looking at the fruit. And in this case, by not just judging according to appearance. And that basically points to what we again, I've used the terminology already this morning, but jump to conclusions. It's just so easy to jump to conclusions, and more times than not, you get yourself in trouble doing that. Because you don't have all the facts. And when you don't have all the facts, usually, you might just by chance end up being right, but usually it causes more damage. And so things aren't what they appear to be. I heard an illustration of a fellow who was a woman, actually. She was in an airport, and she was waiting for her flight to come, and so she went and bought a small package of cookies and a newspaper and sat down in her seat, waited for her plane, started to read the newspaper. You know, I know that's coming kind of foreign anymore. People don't read newspapers a whole lot anymore. But you know how you whip out that newspaper and you start to read? You're really all you're focused on the newspaper. You can't see over it. And she heard the rustling of a package and kind of peeked. And it was some man sitting next to her, opened up the package of cookies and taking a cookie. And she didn't want to make a big scene about it. So, you know, she was perturbed about it. Who does this guy think he is taking my cookies? And so she just got a cookie herself and started, you know, continued to read her paper. After a little while, she hears the rustling again. Fella taking another cookie and got to the point where the cookies were almost gone. Finally got down to one cookie and the man split the cookie in half. And pushed it over a little bit for her to have the last half of the cookie. She was red hot. And he did that and got up and left. Well, the flight came. It was time for her to get on the plane. And she reaches into her purse to get the ticket. And guess what she sees in her purse? Her unopened pack of cookies. So she was really reaching over and taking his cookies. So she jumped to a conclusion. And that. Someone has said that's the most exercise we ever get, jumping to conclusions. But we do it all the time among us, in the church. We jump to conclusions. You can't do that. You have to be careful. Before you pass judgment on your brother or sister, you indeed have the facts. Not rumors, not hearsay, not just because this brother has said, but I know this brother is reliable. He wouldn't have said it if it wasn't true. Don't jump to conclusions. It, more times than not, it gets you into trouble. That's judging according to appearance. And just as strongly as Jesus said we have to judge righteous judgment, he condemns judging according to appearance. And so that's we have to avoid that sort of thing. And in Proverbs 18, verse 13, it says, "He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. The first one to plead his case seems right until his neighbor comes and examines him." And so a lot of times that's true, isn't it? The first thing you hear, boy, it sounds right. And you almost, oh, yeah, that's right. And you side with that. You haven't heard both sides of the story. But it sounds right until it's examined and you get the facts start coming in and you realize that what you heard first wasn't right. But that's what happens when you jump to conclusions. So you have to make sure you have all of the facts. The next one, and we have to close. We'll pick this up next week. We get to really the kind of judgment that Jesus is condemning in Matthew 7. And that, of course, is hypocritical judgment. And that's what makes this passage so important, that we have to make sure we don't judge hypocritically. And that means you make sure your life is in order before you start trying to straighten other people out. Straighten other people out is good. We're even commanded to do that. But make sure your life is in order. If not, it's hypocritical judgment, and that's what Jesus condemns. So we'll talk about that next week.